Hey kids, today's items: suicide voting, Boxer v. Rice, and torture. Let's start with the upcoming weekend bloodbath that U2 wrote the theme song to over 2 decades ago. So, Sunday, Iraqis are supposed to risk their lives, go to the polls, and vote for unknown candidates who don't want to expose their identity for fear of getting assassinated. Basically, they've been told by the insurgency they'll be walking into an ambush of certain death if they participate in any way in the elections. Now, we haven't really heard a lot from the insurgency side other than they're just killing everyone. But it's my guess that it's their argument that they don't want the same American charade of a puppet government that Afghanistan has now. Or better yet, what we have here in this country. To their eyes, I'm guessing, if Bush can get away with stealing an election here, Iraq, being so much smaller, will be that much easier. Our fraud story is quite big in some overseas papers, so there's no doubt they've gotten more info on it than most people here, who it directly affects. Now, I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot. But why else would they be making such a fuss, other than, no thanks, we don't want an American hand-picked puppet government representing us? Can't say that I blame them, really. So, it's basically suicide voting. Everyone knows that. Even Bush must realize it, which begs the question, is that what they really want? Thousands of Iraqis intentionally going to their deaths for the sake of a vote. To what end? How would Bush benefit is the question you really have to ask yourself. This is pretty easy. He gets the best soundbite in dying for democracy, which he can throw into the face of everyone who opposes him while drumming up sympathy with his blind, patriotic, frenzied base, and gets thousands of brown people to cause their own extermination. My dream? Perhaps someday he'll go mad in a classic Lady Macbeth way when he finally sees the sheer amount of blood he's swimming in. Next item, Barbara Boxer. Barbara Boxer, the only member of Congress with any cojones whatsoever. Boxer, who received the most votes of any congressperson ever in this last election. I am so proud she is my senator. I say, screw all those in D.C. and elsewhere who are crucifying her for speaking the truth. They should take a lesson in integrity. As for kinda sleazy Rice whining that Boxer was impugning her integrity? Oh, please, Madam Secretary. You have no integrity. As for torture, I'm against it in all circumstances but one. A pay-per-view live event featuring Rice, Smirk, Rummy, Dick, Wolfie, DeLay, and the rest of the BFEE in Abu Ghraib Revisited. How awesome would that be, seeing them naked in a little pyramid with bags on their head? I say we can learn firsthand everything that happened, an up-close and personal, behind-the-music kind of a thing. And just think of all the money worldwide we could raise. We'd probably be able to pay off the national debt, give every American health insurance, and secure the Social Security Trust Fund in one fell swoop. That's all for this week. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days ago, I'm going home. My baby wrote me a letter.
Question I got in the mail. It says, under the subject comment, Chris Matthews and Tim Russert are among the few tabloid network commentators who ask hard questions. I would consider them good guys. Signed, Ray Davies. Ray, I disagree. Oh, by the way, great name. I saw you in 77. You guys were great. But Ray, I disagree, but I'm not going to attack you for having that opinion. but I would like to straighten you out because I think you are seriously flawed in your thinking. Since Ruzert was a leader way back in the great cock hunt of 1998, he has asked no tough questions of any Republican. Ruzert got this reputation as the big bulldog of network journalism, but that is such a crock. Back in 98, one Sunday his guest was John Podesta, who had just been hired on, I don't know his title, he might have been Chief White House Communications Officer, one of those kind of deals. But he had on John Podesta, and Ruzert badgered him again and again to tell him exactly what Clinton had done with Monica, as though some White House employee would have access to that kind of information. Oh, yeah, like when Clinton got done doing her, he put out a memo explaining everything. But that didn't stop Ruzert. Ruzert just beat on Podesta again and again. Tell me, answer the question. He just was on him like white on rice. He just would not let Podesta breathe because Ruzert the Bulldog demanded answers. He wanted him right fucking now, and he wasn't going to wait another second for him. It was during impeachment that Ruzert earned his bulldog reputation. But a couple years go by, and the subject turns to lying America into a war that killed 1,370 soldiers, and the bulldog suddenly goes limp and starts asking friendly puppy questions of all Republicans. And that pisses me off to no end. Remember Ruzert's big interview with Bush last year? It was like April or May last year when the war was going to hell, and everybody was saying, what the hell's wrong with Bush, and why is the war going so bad and everything? Things were going so bad, Bush decided to expose himself to the bulldog. Well, hey, put it this way. Anyone who the White House picks to grill Bush, you know they have something you can take to the bank all day. The Bush family will not get in any kind of fair fight. They absolutely, like the Rush the Pig Boy, they absolutely refuse to get in any kind of fair fight. And just to show there's another side, for years I've had a standing offer. Any 10 Republicans in the world can get together and badger me to death in a live chat room, and I will kick all 10 asses at the same time. There is not a problem. You can gang up on me any way you want. Obviously, I can't type as fast as 10 people can, but you get any 10 Republicans together and try to put me in a box, and I'll bet I can put them in a box in a heartbeat. But the point is, for the White House to expose Bush to someone asked the, quote, tough questions, if I was Ruzert, I would consider it an insult. They say, oh, we need to have the president grilled. Let's call Ruzert. And I would think, oh, geez, thanks. When you want to turn the idiot that can't answer any questions over to someone, you turn them over to me? Because, you know, the whole reason they did that, they knew that Ruzert was going to ask stupid questions and never follow up on them. And granted, Ruzert did ask a couple of tough questions such as, Mr. President, how can you justify the dead we've taken when it turns out that Saddam had no WMDs at all? And Bush would answer something like, Tim, it's my job to protect America. And then he would stare at the camera as though he had answered the question. Ruzert would say, oh, okay, and he'd move on to the next question. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. When you say, how do you justify the dead when you lied, or at the very least were so 100% totally mistaken, you guaranteed you put your reputation on the line, you put your credibility on the line, saying, I guarantee that Saddam has WMDs. And then we get there, there's none there, and we got 1,000 dead. Explain yourself, Mr. President. I will protect America, that's my job. Well, no, that's not an explanation. I asked for an explanation. How do you justify the dead? But no, Ruzert would never do that. Any answer that Bush gave Ruzert was good enough, and he went right on to the next tough question. And then Bush would say, well, if you're asking if I love my country, the answer is yes. And then he'd stare into the camera again, and Ruzert would say, oh, okay, that's good enough for me. And he'd go right to the next one. The entire hour was like that. Bush never once was made to answer a single question. And you have to wonder, perhaps if Bush's crime was a blowjob instead of getting 1,000 soldiers killed back then, Ruzert might have played the bulldog, but since it was the deaths of American soldiers, not a big and juicy blowjob that Ruzert could whip into a ratings frenzy, there was just no reason to demand answers like he did from John Podesta. That makes me sick, and it ought to make you sick. And in the whore race, it's hard to pick out if Ruzert or Matthews is ahead. Ruzert is bigger than Matthews, but in some ways, Matthews is worse. Matthews, he jumps from side to side, and he probably thinks he's doing it in a spirit of fairness, but he's not. For instance, Matthews went on and on and on. Oh, just gag me. When Bush landed on the aircraft carrier in his little pretend costume, Chris Matthews was just beside himself about it. Oh, my God, he called it, I forget, the most exhilarating presidential moment in all of history. Swear to God, he said something that stupid that he was just creaming in his pants. The idea that here's Bush in a costume, he just couldn't stand how fucking fantastic it was. And that's not what a commentator's supposed to mean. A commentator's supposed to sit back and say, I thought it was a bit impressive, the show of force, the display of command, you know, whatever. But no, to sit there and drool all over yourself and say, oh my God, it was so fantastic, it was so beautiful, I just can't stand how I love it so much. No, that's not what you do when you're supposed to be a commentator on TV. Matthews is a whore. He'll go either way the wind's blowing. At least, I hate to begrudgingly give Russert a little something, that Russert is clearly in the Republican camp. At least he doesn't waver every time a new newspaper comes out. He doesn't change his position and jump over to the other side. I caught some shit earlier in the year, or I guess it was last year, telling Chris Matthews, no, hey, asshole, you stay on their side. You rode that impeachment wave, oh, all you could, every single tiny bit. Remember that time you had Kathleen Willie on there and he said, oh, tell us about the guy, tell us, how come on, tell us. And finally, Kathleen Willie kind of broke down and said, well, yeah, that was the guy who I said threatened me. And then Pat Buchanan's crazy brother showed up inside the guy's house with a loaded gun later that day. That's how nice Chris Matthews is. He heard a damn rumor, and he gets on live nationwide TV, and he elevates rumor to a fact, and then a crazy conservative, but I repeat myself, runs over there with a damn loaded gun, all because Chris the whore wanted to get a big scoop. He wanted to pry something out of Kathleen Willie, and then he could have gotten the man killed. So, yeah, Chris Matthews is nowhere near a journalist. He is a whore, number one prime example. And Russert, another thing about Russert, you got to remember, during the... We don't know if he did it this year because he got caught last time, and maybe they covered their tracks a little better. But when Gore debated Bush, Karl Rove personally had Tim Russert's personal fax number, and every time Gore said, we went there in May, and they looked it up real quick, and turns out they went there in April. Oh, so he's a serial liar, and he's delusional. He can't distinguish fact from fiction. He's lost in a fantasy land, the serial liar who's mentally unhinged. And so he'd fax that to Russert, and Russert went to town with it. Oh, Mr. Vice President, how dare you accuse? How dare you claim this? Oh, Mr. How dare you? And he just went all fucking nuts because Karl Rove gave him some lying questions to ask, and Russert was right there. Russert is an employee of the Bush family. I guarantee it. I can't show you a check stub. But Russert works for General Electric. General Electric makes warplanes. They make engines for planes. They make all these electronic systems and all that. So, yes, General Electric is not going to have their top political guy attack the president who needlessly lied us into war because it would cost them billions of dollars in sales. Now, everybody has to understand, when you talk about billions of dollars, people's loyalties change for $50. You don't think they're going to change for $50 billion or $200 billion? Of course they do. So, like I say, Ray, you can believe what you want. I think you are severely mistaken, but I'm certainly not going to say you're a pinhead idiot. You know, that happens to me a lot. I state an opinion, and people attack me. Bart, you say that because you're an idiot. You're a stupid okie that doesn't understand. I mean, I get a whole lot of that, and so I try not to give it back. But yes, Ray, in my opinion, you are extra wrong on this, and the closer you look, you'll see. Hell, if nothing else, sit there. Next time you watch Meet the Press, get you a pad and a pencil, and when he asks a tough question, you know, mark down a Q, write a Q down. And if that question gets answered, then write an A down and put a big giant star next to it, because you're not going to see it at most more than once a show. But if he has a Democrat on, then it's pounding time. Then you're going to have Q's and A's and Q's and A's and Q's and A's right crazy, because he's going to stay on the guy and badger the Democrat and hammer the Democrat until he gets an answer he likes. He's nowhere near nonpartisan. He is a whore on the Bush payroll. We'll be right back. Well, this next piece is a letter to the editor that was written by a Republican diddle monkey, but something they're doing more and more often. They're writing in saying, I'm a staunch liberal Democrat, and I can't stand the liberals, and I love my W. And that way the Republicans can say, see, they're all coming over to our side. Everybody agrees now, but it's all a giant hand job. Our side thinks it's dirty pool to write these letters saying, oh, I'm a Republican, but I can't stand Bush one more minute. Our side won't do that, because if we do that, we're stooping to their level, and we'd rather lose everything than stoop to their level. You know, I keep hearing that. We don't want to be like them. Well, they control the White House and the Congress and the courts and the military and the course of the planet. So maybe we should pull back a little bit on we don't want to be like them. We'd like to be a little bit more like them. We'd like to win the occasional election. But this is from a monkey called Ken, oh Jesus, what a name, Wolklesmizik, from Niagara Falls, reaching across the aisle, he calls it. After a bitter election, I found comfort in thinking that a healing process between the political parties was about to occur. Being a stout Democrat, he lies, I knew that instead of complaining and blaming Bush for every problem, now whoa, let's stop there. I can't think of any liberal or Democrat who has blamed Bush for every problem. We blame him for the war he lied us into. We blame him for the economic mess that his tax policies have got us into. I don't know anyone that blames Bush for every problem, and that proves that this guy is not a Democrat. How in the world could you look at the Democrats and they say they have blamed Bush for every problem? It's not true. So the man is a liar up front. We only want Bush to be responsible for what happened on his watch. God knows they hung everything. If the sun failed to come up, it was Bill Clinton's fault when he was in charge. But now that Bush is in charge and they control everything, it's still Clinton's fault. It's still the Democrats' fault. It's still everybody's fault but the monkeys, because the Republicans protect their own and the Democrats stab their own in the back. Why am I in this party? I keep forgetting. Anyway, continuing with the letter. I know that instead of complaining and blaming Bush for every problem, both parties should come up with a solid plan involving new ideas to bring this country together. Well, we have new ideas, but Bush wants to go back to the never-existing 50s when there were no gays and there were no blacks. The blacks knew their place back then. They weren't trying to come at us with those equal rights bullshit, as the Republicans would say. One of my favorite quotes of all time, I always remember it. Molly Ivins was quoting a fellow that she heard in a little cafe in Texas saying, Rush Limbaugh is right. What are those niggers going to think to complain about next? That's how they look at the black people. We know how they look at the gay people. They've disguised their hatred of the black people by allowing the occasional Uncle O.J. Watson to the party. But they don't have to disguise their hatred of gay people, because the Bible told them they have to hate the gays, so they do that proudly. But Bush keeps wanting to take us back to a time that never existed. The Democrats have already solved the problem. It's not that we need new ideas. We need to go back to the Clinton ideas. Remember the runaway surpluses? Remember the peace and prosperity? This is not some long, giant, never-ending journey we need to take. We need to go back 5 years. All we need is a Democrat in charge. We need to stop pumping trillions into the super rich. That'll save the economy. And we need to get someone in the White House that's not a crazed oil monkey. That would solve our war problems. And if George Bush, the smarter, hadn't put troops in Saudi Arabia, we never would have had 9/11. We wouldn't have two-hour delays at every airport. We would be able to do things like visit the White House or visit the Washington Monument or all the other places they've had to close down because of the anger that the Muslims have with George Bush Sr. for putting troops in Saudi Arabia. This all goes back to Bush. There was no reason for Bush Jr. to start this war. There was no reason for Bush Sr. to start his war. But America loves a good war, apparently. The military loves to go into battle. The military families apparently like to sit home and wait for that phone call. It bothers me. I don't know why they do that. I don't know how you kiss a loved one goodbye and say, I'm glad you're going to Iraq to fight for Halliburton. I'm glad you're over there dying for Halliburton's bottom line so Dick Cheney can get a bigger bonus from Halliburton and the $23 million they gave him when he left last time? Continuing with the letter. However, after watching some Democrat senators during confirmation hearings for Condoleezza Rice, I wondered what happened to the often used term reaching across the aisle after the election. Ken Wojcicki from Niagara Falls. Well, Ken, apparently you are, not only are you a liar, but you apparently have no ears. Because when Bush talked about spending his political capital, he said he was willing to reach across the aisle to those who agree with us. Now, that means if you think we should send another 14, now we're at 1,400. I guess you heard we lost 31 in a helicopter, so that 1,380 is now at 1,411 and counting. So I guess if you want to reach across the aisle, you have to think that we need to send another 1,400 young men to their deaths for Halliburton. And we need to give the rich more money that they don't need, that we don't have. Can you believe we're borrowing money from the Chinese to give to the super rich, and you and me and our children are co-signing that loan so the super rich can have more billions? What in the hell is wrong with this country that they want to reward the guy in the super giant house on top of the hill, the guy with the 60-room mansion and the 15 bathrooms and the 9 fireplaces? He needs a break. And the poor guy in the trailer or in the little bitty house or living in the small apartment with the rats, he needs to buck up and work harder. And since you don't have a job, why don't we send your kid to Iran to die? Oh, and have you heard that? Saw Seymour Hersh last night on Jon Stewart, one of your best sources for news in this country, because Jon Stewart is not a sellout whore like pretty much every other talking head on TV. Seymour Hersh came on and said, they're doing it. They're going to Iran. They just don't care. They don't care if the generals tell them we can't do it. They don't care if we can't afford it. They are just going to do it. They've got their orders from God, and nothing's going to stop them. And no matter how many lives it takes, no matter what it takes, they're going into Iran. They say they've got dozens of secret troops or whatever, these stealth guys that sneak in there. They got a lot of those in there now. They're picking out targets, what they're going to blow up first. And they say they may not go in with a massive ground assault like they did with Iraq, but either way, we're going to add the Iraqis, who are Persians, we're going to add them to the list of people who are willing to die to get back at America. Are you glad you voted the way you did, America? Are you glad you voted for more war, more recession, more deaths? The never-ending war with Bush was named that for a reason. It's going to go on until the end of time, and he's always going to point to 9/11. We still don't have a clue what happened with 9/11. Bush fought that entire deal tooth and nail. He did not want the truth about 9/11 to come out. When he finally testified, him and Cheney, he agreed only to testify if nobody would ever see his testimony. And plus, it wasn't under oath, so he is allowed to say anything. Do you think he answered any more questions secretly behind closed doors than he does at a press conference? You know, any question they asked him at the, when he and Cheney testified, he probably looked at Cheney and said, you want to take this one, Uncle Dick? And whenever they asked Bush a question, I'm sure he said, well, if you're asking me if I love my country, the answer is sure. If you're asking me if I'm going to get permission from France to defend America, the answer is no. I'm sure that's how Bush answered every question, because that's how he answers every question outside the room. What's he going to suddenly get smarter behind closed doors? I don't think so. So Ken Wojcicki of Niagara Falls, you are a liar and a whore. You're not a Democrat. And I wish people like Andy Sullivan and Chris Matthews, even Tim Russert, once worked for Patrick Moynihan, so people are going to call him a Democrat. Same for George Stephanopoulos. Judas Maximus, people are going to call him a liberal. All these liberal Democrats giving us a bad name. Half of them agree with Bush, and the other half are just lying whores. What the hell are you going to do? We're stuck with this until somebody stands up. Oh, another thing. This is recorded Wednesday, the day after a bunch of senators, well, at least two, stood up and called Condoleezza Rice a liar, which is, I think, a very good move. You should always call a spade a spade. No pun intended. But saying that, telling Condoleezza Rice that she's a liar and that you ought not to give a promotion to a liar who has screwed up everything she ever touched, and then backing down and letting your side vote for her to confirm her, why did you even bother? Why bother to call Condoleezza Rice a liar if she's going to be confirmed? All that does is create bad blood. If you're going to confirm her anyway, why not smile and say, Well, like Joe Biden did, why not smile and kiss her ass and say, hey, Condi, you know, there's a team from my state that won a football tournament. Let's talk about that instead of the war where 31 men died yesterday. Let's not talk about the problems of America. Let's me and you talk a bunch of silly talk. Let's me and you play footsie while the nation burns. Thank you, Joe Biden. Oh, Joe Biden talked about he's going to run for president in 2008. Yeah, Joe, do that. Do that, right. So those are the problems we face today. The Democrats are willing to call Condoleezza Rice a liar, but they're going to vote for her. So go figure. All the Democrats who are in an iffy district, they're going to vote for her and say she's a good lady. She's doing her best under difficult circumstances, and George Bush deserves the cabinet that he chooses. So we're all going to vote to make things easier for George W. Bush. Meanwhile, he's going to invade Iran after invading Afghanistan and now Iraq. Now, here comes Iran, here comes Lebanon, here comes Syria. Of course, he's not going to do anything with Saudi Arabia because he's partners with them. How can anybody be blind to the facts?
This was so unexpected.
Talk just a little bit about the economy. I saw a headline, hey, earnings are good, so why are stocks sinking? A lot of theories to answer that question. Even though two-thirds of the companies in the Standard & Poor's 500 that have reported fourth-quarter earnings topped expectations, Wall Street is reacting as though the corporate America were losing money. Why is this? It's puzzling, says Hugh Johnson. Oh, I get it, Hugh Johnson. Chief Investment Officer at First Albany. If earnings are so good, why is the market struggling? That's a big question on Wall Street. Theories include future profits may be skimpier. Well, that's a guarantee. Did you see the headline? The debt now, oh, hell, I don't have it here. The debt is what, just this year, Bush's deficit is what, $500 billion? Can you believe? And that doesn't include the war. It doesn't even include the war. We've got funny books from the very beginning. You know, Bill Clinton was involved in this teeny tiny Whitewater thing that they made into the biggest crime spree of all time. None of it was true. They all knew it was not true in 93. But because they had to destroy the Democrat that was beating up the Republican war heroes, they had to destroy him. So with the help of the New York Times, they manufactured a crisis, and they said the Whitewater Development Corporation was the single biggest threat to American security in the history of the nation. So we had to dig into that for years and years, hundreds of millions of dollars, constant testimony, hearing after hearing after hearing, again and again, Monica this, Monica that, it was never ending. But now we got Bush throwing away $500 billion a year, not counting the war, not counting the 1,400 dead, not counting the black budget that's off the court, not counting the $11 trillion that disappeared from the Treasury. Everything's spinning wildly out of control. So, yeah, no wonder future profits may be skimpier. Do you think people are worried about the future? Think it was like, whatever you, the listener, whatever you make, what if you and Paris Hilton went on a shopping spree, and she's walking in these stores in Beverly Hills and Rodeo Drive, and she bought her a $7,000 coat, and she bought that little dog of hers a $2,000 sweater, and she bought her a $20,000-$30,000 watch, and she saw a necklace that she liked was $60,000. And all this is going on your credit card. And you're thinking, boy, I know what I'm doing. I got a bright future ahead of me. And you're spending all this money like a crazy man just to make Paris Hilton a little happy. And you're going from shop to shop, racking up tens of thousands at a time. By noon, you're over $100,000. By 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're over $200,000. By the time you get home, you're over $300,000. Now, how does your future look to you? That's exactly what we have with this crazy monkey in the White House. He took the monster surplus that we had, threw it all away, gave it to the super rich, stole half of it. Now we're in this, the biggest financial hole America's ever been in. So, yes, Wall Street is reacting negatively to Bush's crazy crime spree. Another possibility, the slowdown may be bigger than expected. Well, duh. Yeah, bigger than you guys are telling us. The slowdown is huge, and it's coming. Nothing can stop it unless a Democrat suddenly gets in there and returns some fiscal responsibility, some fiscal sanity to America. But that can't happen until at least January 2009. So things are definitely going to get worse. Trust me, Said it before, I have to say it again, you want to be in gold, you want to be in oil right now. Oil's going to go to $80 a barrel, and gold could hit $1,000. When things get bad, people want their money in gold and oil. So if you want to be the last guy on the block, you can buy gold right now at whatever, $450, or you can wait a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and spend $800 for it, but it's going to $1,000. So I recommend you get into the gold. And don't buy, apparently, you don't buy actual gold, you buy gold futures or gold contracts, or I don't understand all that stuff, but you want your money in gold, you want your money in oil. Because the coming slowdown, trust me, it's not going to be bigger than expected. Well, it might be bigger than expected, but what it is, tragedy, we've got this tsunami coming towards us. And the Republicans and the Wall Street and the networks and the president, they're all telling you it's a 2-inch wave. No, it's a 20-foot wave. Their 2-inch is a lie. They keep telling you the 2-inch wave is coming. No, it's a 20-foot wave. And when the 2-inch wave turns into 20-foot and it swamps everybody, they're going to say, damn, that wave was bigger than we expected. No, they are lying. They know how big the wave is going to be, but they don't want to mess with this president because making George Bush happy is the only thing that matters. Whatever it takes, whatever the country has to endure, however many soldiers have to die, however many lower and middle class families have to lose their life savings, we must make Bush happy because he was born super rich, he gets what he wants, and he wants the oil from around the world, he wants to be president, king for life, all that's going to happen. So when this 20-foot tidal wave shows up, remember that Bart Kopp back in show 66 told you it was coming, so don't act surprised when it happens. What else we got? Stock prices may be too pricey. Well, yeah, that goes on with number one, the future profits may be skimpier. You ever notice how when a stock, and you know I know nothing about the stock market, but it always puzzled me when they would say so-and-so had record earnings and their stock dropped. Well, yeah, say they made $5 a share and the stock price drops because they thought they were going to make six or seven. Never mind that five per share is the most they ever made. They thought they're going to make six or seven. When you see a chance to buy a good stock, you're betting on the future of that stock. And if stock has a good reputation, it's going to have a high price. But right now, stock prices may be too pricey, and that's why. That's because the big 20-foot tidal wave is coming. The one that they keep telling you that is 2 inches is 20 feet tall. So you want to be prepared. Right now, the best thing you can do to protect your family is get out of debt. I know that's not easy. The worst debt you can be in is credit card. If you owe mortgage, that's okay. If you owe a savings and loan or something, that's not okay, but it's better than owning. Last thing you want to do is own a finance company or a credit card. So if you anything you can do to get out of credit card debt, that's what you need to do. And if you can, you need to cut up that credit card. Because remember, I told you long ago, every time you buy a tank of gas, they rewrite your interest. Unless you're paying that credit card off every month. The sons of bitches, I got a mailing from my credit card the other day. It's a credit card I don't use, and I mean to kill it. It's got no fee, so I just never have gotten around to it. But they said, hey, Bart, you've accumulated 2,400 points, and it only costs 200 points for this and 200 points for that, so why don't you have a shopping spree? Why don't you go right at it, buddy? And it was all crap. It was a little flashlight thing, and here's some kind of calendar and a day planner, and, you know, they were like $5 and $10 gifts. And they were going to give them to me free. And then when I read the fine print, it said, you agree to let us charge you $4.60 or something for every item you pick. They don't want the $4, and they're not trying to be a nice guy. This point thing is a giant scam. It's a giant shell game. It's a Ponzi scheme. What they're trying to do, if you have $1,000 on your credit card and you agree to one of these free gifts, they're going to put that $4 on your credit card and they're going to rewrite your interest and start you at the top. Let me tell you really quick how that works one more time. It's called the rule of 78ths. When you add the numbers from 1 to 12, that's how many months are in a year. When you add 12 plus 11 plus 10 plus 9 all the way down to 1, that adds up to 78. The first month, you pay 12 78ths of your interest, which is a sixth of your interest. So in other words, you're paying double the interest the first month. If you don't charge anything else, the next month you pay 11.78. And then eventually, if you don't charge anything else in your card, after the 12th month, you're going to pay 1/78 of the interest. So in other words, all the interest is front-loaded. So every time you buy a tank of gas or when they put that $4 charge on you, you go right back to the top of the interest mountain and you can never get out of debt. So if you have to, if you owe $5,000 or something on a credit card, cut that sumbitch in half. Get another credit card that you always pay cash for every time. But if you have to, cut that first credit card in half so you never use it again, because you got to get off the top of that mountain, that interest mountain, that 1278, that 1/6 of your interest is going to hit you every month. Every month they're going to make you pay 2 months worth of interest. You're paying double interest constantly. So you got to get out of that trap. If you owe some money, cut that credit card in half, get a second credit card from a different bank, and pay cash for it every month. If you just need, you know, buying gas and buy a little trinkets and that, you run up $200 or something, pay that at the end of the month. But you got to do that because the big giant 20-foot wave is coming, and you got to be ready for that. And another thing it gets down to is the employment deal. Remember when Clinton was president, everybody had a job, everybody was making money. The super rich cannot make money when everybody has a job and everybody is rich. What they want to do, when they get a Republican in there, he screws up the economy. He gives, like Bush did, he gives the super rich a couple of extra billion that they didn't deserve, money that belongs to the little people. Then the little people lose their job, and then they have to fight each other for jobs. That's how they make money. I'll tell you what their goal is here. They can't have a situation where you're making $60,000 a year and times are good and you know a company is starting up that's going to offer you $70,000 a year. They can't let that happen. So what they do, they have a monkey like Bush get in there and crash the economy. Now instead of making $60,000, you're making $30,000 and you're afraid for your job. So when the boss asks for volunteers, who wants to work this weekend for free, you damn sure better shoot your hand up, because when the next round of layoffs comes by, the boss is going to remember you first. So bottom line, when things are bad, cost of labor goes way the hell down, and cost of labor is bad because health costs are so out of control, again, thanks to the Republicans and their kickbacks from the pharmaceuticals and the healthcare industry. The biggest expense to an employer is health care. To save money for their employers, and they're going to tell you the small businessman bullshit. They're talking about General Motors, they're talking about Microsoft, they're talking about the biggest employers in the country. That's who's lying in their pockets. So instead of you losing a guy who is making 60 and he's going across the street to make 72, instead of that happening, that guy making 60 is now making 30, and he's willing, just like at Walmart, he's willing to clock out and work off the clock, because he's got to have this job, he's got a family, he's got kids on the way, he's got responsibility, those kids are going to have college someday, he cannot lose his job. So he's going to become a better employee because he's scared. Fear always works better. You know, they try to tell you about the honey, you know, you attract more flies with honey. No, you attract more flies with fear. The Republicans, that's how they set things up. Their goal is to screw the economy up, screw the little guy, because the super rich, that same guy with the $60,000 who was going to go across the street and make $72,000, who is now making $30,000, that place across the street where he was going to make the $72,000, they went bankrupt because of the economy. And so now their million-dollar business can be bought for $100,000, a dime on the dollar, by the super rich. That's why Bush has engineered this crashing economy. It makes the super rich richer, and on top of that, he writes them a check that he borrowed from the Chinese that me and you co-signed for. Doesn't it make you sick? Okay, one more and then we're out of here. Old worries won't go away. The Federal Reserve plan to raise interest rates is still on track. They can't raise interest rates because the economy is crashing. Oil prices shot up again. Gee, there's a shock. Trust me, trust Obart, oil prices are either going to 80 or 100. I'm saying 80, but it could go 100. If you own an SUV right now, you're going to be paying $100, $150 to fill up your tank. If you like that, more power to you. Oil prices shot up again, and growing debt levels for U.S. government and consumers are likely to dampen economic growth. That's a fact. There are experts who feel that the market is simply ignoring the good profit news. Even if profit growth slows to 7 or 8%, it's still above historical averages, whoever this Reich says, but you can't believe them. These people, it's Wall Street's job to lie to you and tell you everything's rosy. That's how these stock guys do it. They say, hey, you want to buy a great stock? Buy some ABC stock. It's at 4. We expect it to go to 20. So everybody buys ABC stock because the experts told you 4 was going to 20. So what happens? 4 gets to 6, then the ABC people, or the smart people, they sell out. They saw their money go from 4 to 6. They went and made 50%, so they get the hell out. All the big guys get out. All the little guys sitting there holding on to some stock that they thought was going to 20. Their 4 went to 2. That's how they make money. You can't trust the sons of bitches. They're out to screw you. That's a guarantee. That's how America was built. You screw the little guy, steal from the little guy. They're all worthless souls. They're all going to hell anyway. This is what the Bushes feel like. This is how they think. These skull and bones type, we got ours. Why should we help the little guy? There's too many little people. You can't help them all, so why try? So we're going to take care of ourselves, set up another billion-dollar trust fund for each of our kids. That's how they work. That's why they put Bush in there. They didn't push Bush in there to make things better for the little guy. The super rich put Bush in to make things better for them at our expense.
But sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested.
Oh, no.
No way. No, I've got to go out and have fun at someone else's expense.
Oh, yeah.
Summertime saying, how about this heat? I'm an echo, yo, 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 yo. I'm an echo, yo, 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 yo. Sometimes I park in handicapped spaces while handicapped people make handicapped faces. I'm an echo, yo, 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 yo. I'm an echo, yo, yo. Maybe I should singing this song, ranting and raving and carrying on. Maybe they're right when they tell me I'm wrong.
I saw a band in L.A., and the band was having an off night, and some people started throwing tomatoes at the band. I thought, who would throw a tomato at a band? That's bad. But then I thought, who would bring a tomato to a show? That's even worse. Don't throw a tomato at a band, because what if they really like tomatoes? They'll think you're enjoying them. You guys are kicking ass. Here's a tomato. The tomato is a universal sign of not enjoying a performance. Plus, I like it on sandwiches. I had the man at Subway put tomatoes on my sandwich because I didn't like the way he was making it. I don't know what that meant there. The part was ad-libbed. I'll take it back. I think foosball is a combination of soccer and shish kebabs. Foosball fucked up my perception of soccer. Right? I thought you had to kick the ball and then spin round and round. I can't do a backflip, much less several, simultaneously with two other guys that look just like me. If you wear leather pants around, people will make fun of you inevitably. So you got leather pants on. I like to make fun of people who have skin on their legs. Ah, you're wearing skin. Whatever. That's dumb there, boy. Fuck. Help me out, Chuck. Fuck, don't make me fall into a hole of poorly thought out material. I never joined the army because at ease was never that easy to meet. Seemed rather uptight still. I don't relax by parting my legs slightly and putting my hands behind my back. That does not equal ease. At ease was not being in the military. I'm eased, bro, because I am not in the military. I'm extra at ease. Play tennis. The thing that's the best thing about tennis is no matter how good I get, I'll never be as good as a wall. I played a wall once. They're fucking relentless.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at BartCop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels,
Ladies and gentlemen of Bart Cop Land, this is Tommy Mack, producer of Bart Cop Radio, and I'm here because our good friend Bart needed me to do the closer to this show. First off, I'd like to thank you for subscribing. Something that most people don't realize is that the only way Bart can continue to update the main internet site for free is because of the subscribers to BCR. I'm not joking. Bart has gone full tilt into fighting the corporate media the best way he knows how, being himself. And it's because of you that he gets to do it. In a way, the tens of thousands of people that read BartCop.com every day truly have you to thank. And that's why Bart refers to you as the real producers of BartCop. Now, due to his move, the next show may be delayed a bit. But don't worry, the time between shall not be wasted, as we have hired the best minds, scientists, engineers, performance artists, and even some guy named Kyle that was hitchhiking in Tucson. We're all working together to make the future of BCR more informative, hysterical, and vital to your very existence. The ride is just beginning, and we're taking away the seatbelts. See you on the other side. Woo! Now, when did I turn into that guy? Hey, guys, we'll see you next time on Bart Cop Radio. This is Tommy Mack out. Take care.
river of desire. The ashes and the fire turn in this night inside. Ashes and the fire turn in this night inside. Turn in this night inside. Turn in this night inside. And the light from you.
Thank you.